We're going to conclude our Christmas series this week. And then next week, Pastor Jacob will be here to bring the message next week, as I'll be on vacation the following week, and then back the first Sunday of the new year, where we're going to complete Acts. But this morning, I want to look at our celebration. As we come to celebrate Jesus Christ, celebrate the most stupendous, the most awesome and wondrous event in all of history. Do we agree with that? Amen. The birth of our Lord, the birth of our Savior. To think, as we looked at last week, when we looked at Jesus, who was Emmanuel, God with us, is amazing that the infinite, eternal, indescribable, holy God who dwells in unapproachable light should stoop down and take on flesh, to walk amongst us and to die for us. Well, that should call for something, shouldn't it? That should call for our deepest lifelong devotion to the Lord. Do you agree with me there? We saw that we should stand in wonder of Him. We should just step back and look at Him in all of the shock and awe and just stand in amazement of the Lord. And when we look at Jesus as Emmanuel, what's the emphasis? The emphasis is more on the wonder of who came into the world of Bethlehem. That's the wonder of it, Emmanuel. Who was He? That's what we looked at last week. This morning, we're going to do a little bit different at Christmas. I told you that going into these messages. But we're going to look this morning at Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. Jesus as our Redeemer. What does that mean? What does that entail? I think you're going to be surprised today how soon we're going to end, because we're going to dig into this, we're going to go at this, we're going to praise God for it, and we're going to celebrate Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Here the emphasis is more on the why the Son of God should ever leave His throne. Why He should leave glory to enter this world that He created as a babe in a manger. It is the combination of the who and the why that should melt our hearts, that should bring us in humility to kneel before God and praise Him. This combination of the who and the why with our love for our Lord, that love should fill us. It should overflow from us when we look at what Christ did. At Christmas, we should be really saying, joy to the world, the Lord has come, right? Joy to the world. When we look at this, and let's go back and just remember a few things. An angel of the Lord told Joseph in a dream concerning his pregnant virgin wife, Mary. He said this in Matthew 1:21, she will bear a son. And you shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. An angel then appeared to the shepherds and told them in Luke 2, today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Imagine being those shepherds. Imagine being Joseph. But how will this Savior born, this Savior named Emmanuel, this Savior named Christ the Lord, this Savior named Jesus, save? How is He going to become a Savior? This is what we know. Salvation would be accomplished by redemption. It will be accomplished by redemption. It is the concept of redemption that necessitated His birth in Bethlehem. And it is the concept of redemption that necessitated His death on the cross for us. It's about redemption, everyone. What does that look like? You see, our salvation is the result, the outcome, you could say, of Jesus being our Redeemer. Praise the Lord for that. And when we fully understand and appreciate what that involved in Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, being our Redeemer, our love, our devotion to Him should just overflow, and our appreciation for Him and what it involved in Jesus being our Redeemer. Our love and devotion should be deepened, deep and wide. It just hit me, deep and wide. A fountain flowing deep and wide. My word, do we really, truly understand the magnitude of Emmanuel, the Redeemer? Wow. We're going to look at that this morning. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you so much, Lord, for one, the privilege that you would allow me to stand here and talk about you, to be in your word and to share what you did as our Redeemer. Lord, to think of the privilege for all of us to be here together, gathered together as the saints, saved by your grace. I pray, Lord, each and every person here today can say that you are their Redeemer. Lord, we praise you. We want to celebrate you. Lord, I pray right now our hearts and our mind are completely open to hearing your word today, and may we apply these things to our life in the most precious way by giving you glory in all we say, do, think, and feel. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. So let's start out by looking at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Wow. That's a wow verse. That's a verse when you come to scripture, you go, wow, shock. Could any single verse pack more glorious truths to the thrill that the believer's heart should have than this one right here? Seriously, I mean, you can camp on this verse. You can go to heaven on this verse. Amen. This is an amazing verse. Look at it just in the verse. In him, that is Jesus alone, we have redemption. We have forgiveness from his grace. There you have it. There you have it right there. It comes through Jesus Christ. Redemption is through him. Forgiveness is through him. And it's all by his grace. Praise God. How marvelous. How wonderful. Right? Amen. All right, everybody stand and turn to 522. 522. Where's my helper, Kayla? Oh, no. All right, I'm going to do it. Just turn my mic down a tad bit. All right, let's sing this together, and let's sing it out. I stand amazed in the prayer. Marvelous. Is this love wonderful that we should have a Redeemer? But let's look at that precious word in that verse, redemption. What does the word redemption mean? The word redemption means to release or set free by paying a ransom. To release or set free by paying a ransom. See, redemption, everyone, is about a deliverance on the payment of a price. You see that? Thus, it's kind of like this. A prisoner of war or a kidnapped person might be released on the payment of a price. Therefore, that price is called a ransom. A ransom. The one paying the ransom price is the Redeemer. You see that? And the ones who have been freed by that payment of the ransom are the redeemed. You may say this is elemental, but it's not. It is magnified of what salvation is and why Jesus Christ came. A ransom had to be paid. What did Jesus tell us as the reason he came into the world? Let's hear from Jesus' own words. He said of himself in Matthew 20, 28, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. There you go. Paul went on to say in 1 Timothy 2, for there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. And that word all in the text and the context is all of humanity. That's not just some. It's all of humanity that he paved a way for that ransom to be paid. What has Jesus redeemed us from, everyone? By offering his life as a ransom to set us free? I mean, why did I need this? Why did he come to do this? Simply put, and we know this of ourselves, Jesus has set us free from paying the penalty for our sins. It's a penalty set by God's holy justice. And what is that penalty? It is death. Ezekiel 18, 20, the person who sins will die. And the wages of sin is death, Romans 6, 23. Sin has consequence. A payment must be made, and that payment is death. This sentence of death, which is upon us all, for it says in Romans 3, 23, for all have sinned, is not just a physical death, but far, far worse. When we really step back and look at it, it's an eternal death. It's an eternal separation from God. To have just a finite perspective of this, think of it this way. It's like a criminal today being given 1,000 consecutive life sentences. He will never be able to pay that off in his minuscule life. How will he, in 80 years, pay off 1,000 life sentences? He will never be able to pay off that debt. He will never be free. For the price of his freedom is just too high. How could he do that? There's no chance for freedom if even in this finite example. Then imagine what that looks like for eternity. Imagine what that cost is for eternity. Have you ever stopped to think about eternity? What that looks like? You see, this is the situation, everyone. The world is lost and dead in their sin, only to pay for that sin for all of eternity, meaning they can never pay for it. And therefore, this is a situation crying out for a redeemer, for only a redeemer can redeem in such a hopeless state. And that redeemer is Jesus Christ. Right on? And this is what Christmas is about. It's not about Santa or sleigh bells or snow. It's about sin. Has anyone ever told you Christmas is about sin? Christmas is about sin and God saying, I'm going to do something about it. Jesus came to redeem us and to free us from the chains of sin, from this bondage of death. and give us the greatest gift of all, to be reconciled to the Father and have eternal life with Him. You see, if this is our focus on Christmas, guess what? Our joy will not be diminished. You will not be able to turn the joy down. The joy will overflow. Our Christmas will not be ruined because there's no snow. It's not going to be bad if you didn't get the gift you asked for. But sadly, for many of us, even if our precious loved one is not with us, our joy will not be diminished. You see, the redemption by our Lord Jesus is pictured for us in the Old Testament under the law of the Redeemer. This is where we get this, and God pictures it for us in the Old Testament. You see, the Redeemer in the Old Testament could redeem or buy back a family member. For example, family land that had been lost, they may purchase it back. Or they could redeem or buy back the lost reputation of the family. Or the Redeemer could buy back somebody who has gone into slavery to pay off a debt that they owe. It is this third one. It is the redemption out of slavery where the New Testament focuses. As a picture of Jesus Christ that only He could do, that only He could buy back somebody who has gone into slavery. Only He could redeem and pay off that debt that they owe. There were three absolute essentials we see in the Old Testament. Essential qualifications to be a redeemer outlined in the Mosaic Law. Not anyone could be a redeemer. There's three qualifications outlined in the Mosaic Law of who could redeem. And I want to see those three this morning briefly and see if that looks like Jesus. First, the Redeemer had to be a blood relative. He had to be a blood relative. Leviticus 29:49, one of his blood relatives from his family may redeem him. Not just anyone could be a redeemer. I mean, Mark, are you and I blood brothers? Say no. Yes. Spiritual brothers, but not blood brothers. You go off into slavery in the Old Testament, I can't redeem you. I got to go find somebody who's your blood relative. In the Old Testament, what is he called? He is called a kinsman redeemer. So it was with Jesus, our Redeemer. You say how? Say what? Say how? Look at Galatians 4, 4 through 5. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. That is the very issue of the incarnation. This is the why of Christmas. To redeem us, God became flesh, was born into the family of man, and became kin to us, a blood relative. Say what? On the cross, it is Jesus who is our blessed kinsman redeemer. Hebrews 2:17, therefore, He had to be made like His brethren in all things, so that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Wow. You see, this word propitiation, it is a two-part act. This two-part act involves appeasing the wrath of an offended person, but it doesn't stop there at the appeasement of the wrath. The second part is being reconciled to that person. So He appeased the wrath of God to reconcile man back to the Father. It's really the word satisfaction, this word propitiation. You see, Jesus was the only offering that satisfied God the Father concerning the payment of sin. Nothing else could satisfy the Father. So Jesus, as our kinsman redeemer, he appeased the wrath of God for our sins, and he gave us a pathway for being reunited to the Father. Don't you love that? So we see the Redeemer had to be a blood relative. Guess what else? The Redeemer had to be willing to redeem. Leviticus 25:49 says, one of his blood relatives from his family may redeem. He had a choice. The kinsman redeemer was under no obligation by Mosaic law to redeem a family member in need. No obligation whatsoever. I mean, true enough, a stigma was laid upon the brother who was so callous not to redeem, but by law, he was not required to. It was his choice. Well, guess what? Our Lord Jesus, our Redeemer, was willing. Does that make you happy? He was willing to redeem. We saw last week that God certainly, everyone, has every right to let us die in our defiant, miserable, hideous, sinful condition. He has every right to let that judgment flow upon us, for we are guilty. It is we who are the criminal. It is God who is just, perfect, and holy, and he has the right to let us die in our sin. Yet, he sent his son. He so loved us. Does that mean anything? He so loved us. He came to lay down his life. He came to pay the penalty for our sins. And that is a wonder to me. That is marvelous. That is shock and awe. Listen again to our Lord's own words. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. This is clear. It is he who gave his life. No one forced the Son to redeem us. No law was perpetrated over Christ where he was forced to come down and obey that law. No law forced Jesus to that cradle in Bethlehem, and no law put him on that cross. It was love. It was love, not law, that drew him to the manger. Don't ever forget that. It was love, not law, that drove him there. He brought himself there. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. It's all about Jesus. It's all of Jesus. Jesus laid down his life. He is the good shepherd, all because he loved us. He went on to say in John 10:18, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. A willing kinsman redeemer. Jesus is saying, hey, all y'all time out. Let's get this doctrine straight. I came down from heaven above to that manger in Bethlehem. I chose to do it. I'm willing. It is me who lays down my life. I laid down my life on Calvary. I went to the cross on my own. I raised myself from the dead. I ascended into heaven, and it is I and I alone who saves. Does he get the glory? Because if y'all don't know, because I love you. Because I love you. I did it because I love you. How many of you like to be told, I love you? Well, then you should love it when it comes from Christ. Third, the Redeemer had to be able to redeem. Obviously, a kinsman redeemer had to have the wherewithal to pay the ransom price. He had to have the ability to pay. Think about it. No payment, no ransom met. The kinsman redeemer, he may wish to do it. He may say, oh, my brother's off in slavery. I'm such a poor man. Oh, I wish I could redeem you, brother. I mean, if I had the wherewithal, I'd do it. But I can't. I don't have the money. My heart is right, but I do not have the wherewithal. You see, I can't pay the ransom price. And all my desires to pay it for you amount to nothing. Nothing. You know, in the history of mankind, there have been some pretty high ransoms out there demanded for kidnapped victims. In 1974, Patty Hearst was kidnapped, and the ransom price for her freedom was $6 million in 1974, the equivalent of $29.3 million today. The highest ransom price on record was for King Richard the Lionheart. Did you know that? Well, you do now when you do your trivia games. I didn't know it either, but I do now. When he was sailing back from the Crusades, everybody, he was captured by Leopold V, the Duke of Austria. His ransom price was set at a magnitude price of 150,000 marks, which at that time was 2 to 3 times the annual revenue of England in 1190. It's the equivalent ransom price today of $3.3 billion. What is the ransom price, everyone, to set men free from the law of sin and death? What price could pay it off? 1 Peter 1:18 through 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ was the ransom price. Only Christ's blood could be paid by the unblemished lamb, the blood of Christ. Remember Matthew 20, 28, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. That word for, look at that word for. That little word for is the Greek word anti, meaning instead of. That word for is the word for instead of me. Substitution. Wow, instead of you having to pay the price of your sins, Jesus took your place. Jesus substituted himself on the cross. And he suffered the wrath of God for your sins. Do we understand what it means to have the wrath of God for sins laid on the unblemished Lamb of Jesus Christ? Oh, what a high payment. For it was the only payment that could be made. It was that only option. And because of what Christ did there, guess what? Now God can offer in his great love salvation to all men as a free gift who will just receive it by faith. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it beautiful? And guess what? And to do so justly. He now can justly do it. For Jesus satisfied God's justice, everyone, by paying in full the wages of those sins. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. Woo, woo, amen. According to the riches of his grace. We're never going to get past understanding those riches of grace. You see, our Redeemer has paid the ransom. I'll pay it. I got it over here. Do you know how much it costs? Yes, I won't only pay it for him. I'll pay it all. Pay it all for everyone. You see, when you have Christ as your Lord and Savior and that blood is applied to you, we are free from sin and death, praise God. Our sins are forgiven, washed away, and made white as snow, Isaiah. Amen. White as snow, Isaiah 1:18. You see, for the believer in Jesus, guess what? It's always a white Christmas. Right on. Job cried out in the oldest book of the Bible, Job 19, 25, and 26, he said, "As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will take his stand on earth, and I shall see God." Are you looking forward to that day when you see God? When you see Jesus Christ? We know that more perfectly today, don't we? Our Redeemer has come to us as our willing, able kinsman Redeemer. He has redeemed us, and that is Christmas. And one day, we who are redeemed, we're going to stand in glory with each other, with all the redeemed of all the ages, and we're going to sing a new song and see our Redeemer. For all the ransomed in glory will be there and say, "I have been ransomed by a high price." Everybody stand. We're just going to sing another verse. Please stand and turn to 522. Taylor, you're going to help me on this one. Let's mean it. Let's sing it. And we're going to close very soon. Verse 4. Us to be ransomed. One day we will all stand in glory as the ransomed. Amen. Revelation 5:9. One day we'll sing a new song. We'll sing this song here. "You were slain and purchased," there's redeemed, "for God, with your blood, men from every tribe, descent, and tongue," there's language, "and people, race, and nation, culture." We're going to sing that. And we who have received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we who are redeemed will be in that heavenly throng one day. We will be there. We will be singing there. We will be praising Almighty God there, our Redeemer. Praise the Lord. Until then, guess what? 1 Corinthians 6:20 tells us, "For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body." Precisely. Precisely. Because we have been redeemed at such a cost, the precious blood of Christ, we are to be a people for Him, a people following Him, a people submitting to Him, a people obeying Him, a people who love Him. Love Him dearly. We're to live for Him. We're to show in our lives that we are free and that we're not caught up in the bondages of sin from which we've been released from which we've been purchased from. That type of believer is what the Lord demands. It is that type of believer that the Lord expects. It is that type of believer that the Holy Spirit gives us power and strength to accomplish it. They will be His church on the move following the Master. It is that type of believer the Lord wants and demands. And we have to ask ourselves this Christmas, man, I have Emmanuel, God with me. I have the Redeemer who paid my ransom. Am I straddling? Do I have one foot in and one foot out? Why do I sleep in and can't get out of bed to serve the Lord? Why am I so well fed, but I look so dead? What is wrong? Lord, is there any way in me that you need to allow me to let you repair? Search me and know my heart? Does he not deserve all of our love? Well, guess what? We don't have to wait till we get to glory, do we? We don't have to wait till we get to glory to start singing the praise of our Redeemer. That new song that should be in a Redeemer's heart should be in our hearts and on our lips today that we can live by. Psalm 107 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is what? Good, for his loving kindness is everlasting." So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Your loving kindness is good, O Lord. You're good. Your love is everlasting. And I'm redeemed, and I will forever say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. He has saved me out of death. He has delivered me from my adversary. No more can sin and death have a hold on me. I have Jesus Christ as my Redeemer, and as the redeemed, I will say so. Right? Everybody say it if you know it. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. If that is your testimony, because you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you can say this Christmas, as the Apostle Paul said, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Amen. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Let me ask you today, do you know personally Jesus, the Son of God, Emmanuel? Do you know him? Do you know personally Jesus, the Son of God, the Redeemer? If you have never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never received Jesus, do it today. If you're tuning in and you haven't, do it today. Don't commit that crime we saw in Acts where you wasted your opportunity to be saved. Jesus is saying, "I'm Emmanuel. I came into this world and did what you could not do. And I am the Redeemer. I have paid your ransom if you'll only choose me, if you'll only submit your life to me and you follow me." Don't go through Christmas and miss the gift of Christmas. Christ Jesus himself, who has come to die in your place and wash you white as snow, and give you eternal life as his free gift. And to the redeemed, we have everything to praise God for. Everything to thank him for. Church, be the church. Church, be the church. Give your life fully, wholly, and totally to Christ and follow him. It's so worth it. Let's stand and sing and praise the Lord.